This is LeSaire Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. I hope that you're enjoying the messages this month, all of which are connected to our theme, Giving Glory to God. And we have a packet of two CDs that I would like to send you, one of which has a message on giving glory to God, and the other are 14 hymns that I believe you will enjoy. Please mention the call letters of the station of which you hear the program, and if you can help us support the broadcast, we will certainly appreciate it. We must have our listeners' help in order to stay on all these stations. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Then we go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at the 5th verse. Mortify, that means put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth. You're not to tolerate these sins. You're not to go after them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That's unrestrained desires, inappropriate affections, actions that are not pleasing to God. Evil concupiscence, which is strong sexual lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It says those who walk in this course, go after these sins, the wrath of God will come upon them. Now this was practical instruction given to this church as the apostle writes to them, warning them that they are not to live as the Gentiles or the pagans around them. You're called to be holy. The Lord says, be ye holy even as I am holy. You are to turn away from these sins of the flesh, these sins that are prominent, these sins that today are many times defended and justified. But God says, my wrath
is going to be poured out on these who continue in these sins. And there's coming that great day when Jesus Christ will return. Oh, what a day it will be. A day of joy, a day of triumph, a day of resurrection for those that are His. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But look at the description in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with the 7th verse. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So while it will be a day, while it will be a day of victory, a day of rejoicing, a day of triumph for those that are the children of God, it's going to be a terrible day for those who do not know Him. Jesus Christ is coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to be punished. How? With everlasting destruction. And then that destruction is described for us in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Where do you stand? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says that by nature we are children of wrath. You might reply and say, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm just not all that bad. But that's the problem. God demands perfection. He's perfect. He's holy. And because of His holiness, He hates sin. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Now, this is an impossibility, but let's suppose that Sister Lois Sargent, sitting back there, had lived a perfect life, never had sinned, never had had an evil thought, never had said anything that she shouldn't have said. And she's now 90 years old. And she would slip up today and do something wrong. What would you think about that? I know what I would do in the weakness of my human nature. I'd say, bless your heart, Sister Sergeant. You've had such a noble long-term record. You've lived such a great life. One little sin, that's not going to matter. We're going to ignore that. But you see, that's the reason I would respond that way, because I'm a sinner. And I think like a sinner. I pray that as I read God's word and I'm led by His Holy Spirit, that I can overcome that inclination. But the inclination of my human nature is to say, well, one little sin, is that going to matter? God says, you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. So if you were dealt with on the basis of your sin, you would be under the wrath of God now and forever. It's a troubling thought, is it not? To think that this God that we come here to worship is of such greatness, glory, holiness, and because of His holiness, He hates sin, He hates every evil way, He will punish sin, He has punished sin, and He will punish sin. Where sinners are finally cast into hell, as we have read here in the book of Revelation, then there is no hope. One thing that keeps us going in life is hope. We go through difficult times, we have our doubts, we have our fears, but we have hope. We can say with the apostle, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. But in hell there is no hope. There is no relief. There is no promise. There is no help from God. As long as you're living here, you feel like when I'm in trouble, when I need help, I can turn to God. He's the helper, but no help from God in hell. Only to bear his wrath forever. And I admit, I can't fathom that. I have difficulty grasping eternity from the standpoint even of the saints of God being with him in joy forever. No end, no end. On and on and on and on. But to think about sinners suffering the wrath of God, it would be horrendous to think that they were going to suffer for a year or about 10 years. People today are sentenced to the penitentiary for life. And that generally means a person going there is going to be there 50 or 60 years maybe. But there's finally an end to it. They're either paroled or they die in prison. But in hell, there is no parole. And there is no end to the suffering. It goes on forever. And we've talked about the great God that we worship. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Great because he's holy. Great in his wrath. But I've got some good news. I'm going to talk to you about great grace. Don't you feel like you need some? Oh, when you begin to think about his greatness, his glory. Say, I need grace. And the good news is, he's the God of all grace. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, settle you. The God of all grace. This God who is holy, this God who because of his holiness must display his wrath towards sin is also the God of all grace. Certainly having heard about his holiness and his wrath. At that point, I don't think you want to talk about any merit that you might have at some point boasted in. I don't think you want to do any boasting about good works. They just kind of shrivel up and say, I don't even want to talk about it. Some people continue to want to talk about free will, free will. I don't think free will sounds like a very good topic at this point, does it? What you need is free grace, free grace. Let's look back at the story in Isaiah chapter 6. Having seen the king, he confessed, I'm undone, I'm ruined, but that wasn't the end of the story. Save that till we got to talking about grace. Chapter 6, verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and when he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it on my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Oh, how wonderful to know that though Isaiah saw how wretched he was in the sight of this holy God. Woe is me. I'm undone. Basically, I'm ruined. I have nothing to offer. But one of these seraphims took with tongs a coal off of the altar and laid it on his mouth, symbolic of the cleansing that was taking place. Touched my lips. And he said, your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. It's gone. Isn't that good news? That's what happens to us in saving grace. We who have a terrible record You say, well, I've never worshipped any idols. Oh, now, wait a minute. Jesus summarized the law and said, here it is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, soul, and strength. And secondly, thy neighbor as thyself. Ooh. Put yourself up against that test and you say, I'm right there with Isaiah. Woe is me. I haven't always loved God supremely. I haven't made every decision in my life based on how I could honor him. No, I'm a sinner. So what you need is the purging of your sin. You need it to be washed away. You need to be cleansed. And that's what we have through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he laid down his life, was to save guilty sinners. Salvation, then, is by grace. And after he was cleansed, the Lord said, whom shall I send? Isaiah wouldn't have said this earlier, but now it says, here am I, send me. Sometimes you can dwell so long upon the fact that you see yourself as an unworthy sinner, and you get to the place and say, well, I'm so useless, there's nothing I can do of any value. But when you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, when you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're now able to go forward and serve him. And therefore, we should all say, when the Lord says, whom shall I send? Here am I. Lord, send me. Send me in whatever direction you would have me to go. Lead me to those that I may be able to help and minister to the glory of thy name. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at how many times it talks about grace. By grace you are saved. And this is according that he may show the exceeding riches of his grace. For by grace are ye saved. Grace. Something that you don't deserve. Something you don't work for. Something that you cannot merit. Grace. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified, how? By his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. That seems so difficult for some people to get hold of. They've been maybe brought up with the idea that I've got to work for my salvation. If I'm doing the best I can, God will take note of it. Some feel that they must make some great sacrifices in order to appease God, that it must be a diligent effort, lifelong working in order to earn their place in heaven. And there are those who believe that after a person dies, their destination is still not certain. They go to purgatory. And there they stay for a time. And people need to pray for them that they might ultimately be able to move on to heaven. Oh, how far removed is that thinking from the truth that salvation is by grace. That it's all by what God has accomplished through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace. We've been talking about wrath, about how horrendous the wrath of God is, what it was like when it was poured out in flaming fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, what it was like when the destruction came to Egypt, what it was like when on certain occasions there were literally thousands of people that died under the judgments of God in the Old Testament days. And then to think there is coming a day when the wrath that will be poured out is beyond our ability to grasp or describe. But in this wonderful truth of salvation by grace, we learn that he delivers us from wrath. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If you believe what God's word says, if you believe that God is holy, if you believe that God hates sin and you know by nature you're a sinner, if you understand something about his wrath, you're thrilled to death to hear that there is salvation from wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, he turned from idols to serve the living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us, what? From wrath to come. Jesus delivered us from wrath because he took the wrath on himself. As he neared that time to go to the cross, Isaiah had said he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He knew something of what he was going to suffer. Yes, the physical pain was indescribable, with the nails in his hand and in his feet and the crown of thorns down upon his brow. But the thing that brought him indescribable agony and suffering was that the wrath of his Father was poured out upon him. In the 6 hours that he was on the cross, he suffered the wrath that would have been poured out on you and you and you as a believer in Jesus Christ, upon a child of God. You would have had this wrath meted out to you had he not taken your place. And he suffered. The wrath of God came upon him in a measure beyond our comprehension. But he delivered us from wrath. If you are in Jesus, if he's your Savior, you don't have to fear wrath to come. When you think about his return, you don't have to tremble. You have to say, what a happy day. And you pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. What a day that will be to be at home with him forever. God is holy, perfect, just, good. God's wrath is poured out on sinners as an evidence of his holiness. The book of Hebrews says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful, dreadful, to fall into the hands of the living God. But grace is given freely because of the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is electing grace, redeeming grace, calling grace, justifying grace, pardoning grace, sanctifying grace, keeping grace, helping grace, all kinds of grace. He's the God of all grace, and there is an abundant supply of it. Because when Jesus came, it said he was full of grace and truth. Multitudes have been made the recipients of his grace, but there is an adequate supply. Grace, grace. If you've been convicted of your sin, you know that you deserve the wrath of God, the wrath of this holy God to be poured out on you. I bring the good news of the gospel that there is hope for you, for sinners, because Jesus Christ came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great because he's holy. Great when his wrath is meted out to execute judgment, to display the fact that he is a holy God. Does not excuse sin, does not tolerate sin, will punish sin, will judge sin. But he poured out his wrath on his Son Jesus at Calvary. And that gives us our hope today. We can then come and rejoice to believe in such a God, the God who is so great and glorious, and come to praise his name and to give thanks for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and praise him for the salvation that is by grace.
Once again, I want to remind you to write us that we can send you our anniversary packet. We're celebrating the completion of 67 years on the air, and we'd like to send you this packet with two CDs, one with a message pertaining to the glory of God and another a collection of hymns. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Blessed assurance. Salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, praising my Savior.